It was the spring of 2011. Montreal student Shahab Essa-Ayer allegedly bought a one-way ticket to Iran, planned to drive to Afghanistan, where he would die in a battle. But he was recruited by Al-Qaeda, went back to Canada, returned next year for training, and was allegedly briefed on a plot to derail a passenger train traveling between Toronto and New York City. Wanted to kill as many innocent people as possible. The deal was he, along with Riyad Jasser, were allegedly going to use a jackhammer to cut a hole in the tracks on a rail bridge. There's even video of them inspecting those tracks. Now, you might be thinking, David, you wonderful guy, why are you saying allegedly were they not convicted? Very true, my perceptive friend. A court of appeal, though, has tossed that verdict out. The law regarding jury selection was in flux during the trial. The approach used by the judge has since been deemed, well, wrong. Several other cases have been overturned due to similar errors in recent years. The Eaton Center shooter, for example. The pair were found guilty in 2015 of 8 terror-related charges. They were sentenced to life in prison with no chance of parole until 2023. But now we've got that new trial. No indication whether they might be released. No indication when this retrial might happen. We'll bring those details to you once we have them. But we asked our legal expert today, Ed Prucci, how much extra is this going to cost us?
Well, let's assume that these accused were represented under legal aid, as I'm virtually positive they were. You've got Crown attorneys, you've got judges. It was a trial of over a month-long time. It would not surprise me in the least if you're looking at a mid-six-figure sum when you factor in all of the costs to do all of this again.
I was actually also just reading an article from The Sun. They were talking about, initially, Essa-Ayer was seen as obviously suffering from mental health issues. He was representing himself. If you recall the stories, we did them quite often. We followed this trial. There were many outbursts.
Yeah.
But now they're saying he's actually, at the last time when they were appealing, you could see he was cleaned up, obviously on some sort of medication now, and was much more well put together, a calm individual now, as now they're getting their retrial.
Does that make a difference for you?
No, not at all. I mean, based on the evidence that we heard when they were convicted, mm-hmm. even though it has been tossed out, it was pretty cut and dry there's even talk that there was a sleeper agent that he had communicated with in the U.S. There was, I think, a book came out from one individual said he felt it was sort of either a failure, the whole investigation on part of U.S. and Canadian authorities was either a push or it was a break even or it was a failure because they never got that sleeper agent that who may still be in the U.S. at this very time.
It was interesting as Christie did her best, and I think a very good job, of trying to talk about jury selection and specifically this trial. And what struck me that she said was that...
You stayed awake?
No, it was that she, you know, after going through the transcripts, she kept expecting it to be more. There had to be more there than just this one little minuscule thing that turned the tables for it to become an appeal. Not that you ever want anything covered up, but you can't help but look at a case like this and think, if it was that minuscule a thing that probably wouldn't have affected the outcome of it anyway, couldn't we just let it be?
Yeah.
Do we have to? Did we have to go through this entire thing again?
Half a million dollars. Like estimated this was going to cost for like a weird technicality.
For more than likely, what'll be the exact same outcome.
Yeah. Like that is crazy. Like, you know how many houses could be repaired in Toronto community housing? How many people could be taken? Like I don't know, name it, whatever. Roughing in a subway station, $100 million. Like just little things you could do. Like, let's go buy a streetcar. Like, I don't know, but there are things we can do with this money, or start to do with this money at the very least, buy a quarter of a streetcar that we're not doing because of some ridiculous decision. Like,
but
driving nuts.
And even their sentence too. I'm not sure if I have this right. I think they can apply for parole. I want to say it's 2024, maybe 2023.
Not 2023 years.
No,
2024.
Exactly. And for a life sentence, they actually can be out pretty soon. I mean, would that be approved? But then you get all this aspect. I'm not even sure how that factors in now with mm-hmm. time served when it's a retrial. It's scary to think they actually could be back on the street not really that long from now.
Another takeaway for me is I probably shouldn't have got into this line of work, but got into subway contracting because that pays really well. That's just for the roughing in, huh? 100 mil. That's fantastic. Hey, Mark Saunders still has a job for a couple of years.
Yes, writing in a statement today, I'm pleased to confirm the board and I have agreed to extend my mandate as chief of the Toronto Police Service, a role that I'm honored to hold. He's also humbled, he says. The Toronto Police Services Board pointing out today, it's only the second time in the last 40 years a chief of police will have served more than a single term. Chair says this signals the board's commitment to full implementation of the modernization plan, which upon completion will cement the Toronto Police Service's reputation as a world-class leader in progressive community policing. It's a one-year contract extension that takes him until April of 2021, which could end up being his retirement date. Maybe not. There could be another extension, but if you're a betting man, you might say, well, the fact it was only a one-year extension, they could have done more. All the talk about finishing the modernization plan, sort of he has a task to complete before he leaves, not to mention his health. If you ask me, I think he's done at the end of April of 2021.
Done as in by his own accord, that he will want to be done?
It sounds that way because from the way it's written, it sounds like the board went to him to say, we want you to sign on for another year. I mean, you also talk about the timing right now. So if it wasn't 2021, it'd be you're looking at next spring, potentially his contract would end. And that comes at a bad time with all the gun violence. And heck, you'd have to almost start looking for a replacement now, pretty soon.
Sure.
You actually would have to start the search within like about a year ahead of time, if not a little bit less, just because it's super complicated. They bring an outside search firm, usually do candidates outside of the city and internal. And if you're thinking about what the chief is currently trying to do, which is the modernization issue, obviously we've heard from McCormick, the union head, who is, he's somewhat, I can work with him, but can't wait to see the new guy. So, you know, there's a challenging environment right there.
I heard that, actually.
Super nice to work with you, but can't wait for the other. Like, you know, really? All right. Like, maybe give the guy 24 hours. And then there's also, obviously, the increase in shooting. And, like, one thing I didn't say earlier and I didn't want to make the point of is that this isn't, yes, it's an issue facing Toronto, but it's an issue facing Canada, right? Like, shootings are up in Vancouver. They're up across the country. So Chief Saunders, I think, has a lot on his plate. I think this is a smart decision, both from a logical perspective and from a political perspective on all sides. And it'll be interesting to see who the new guy is, though, in 2 years.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Because now that Slowly has just been named, who was sort of the other guy in the running, he's been named the head of the new Ottawa Chief of Police. So there's a kind of an open field.
The Premier should appoint Ron Tavener.
There we go.
Hey, hasn't accepted a new gig as of late.
No, there you go.
Yeah, well, that couldn't possibly
for this one now.
Ruffle any feathers. No, could it? Sticking with policing?
Yeah, a Toronto cop who tased a man in the neck who was handcuffed and sitting in the back of a cruiser.
Don't tase me, bro!
Has been temporarily demoted. A disciplinary tribunal has ruled Constable Ryan Coetzer will be lower-ranked constable for 6 months as punishment. I'm assuming that means that comes with less pay, so there's the real punishment. Officials say the officer has accepted responsibility for his actions and demonstrated he has the potential to reform. Pled guilty last month to one count of insubordination. That was under the Police Services Act. An agreed statement of fact says he had no justification for using his taser in drive stun mode, which causes pain but does not incapacitate. Who knew there were different modes?
No, I had no idea.
But you just hit him, blast him with 20,000 volts.
So did I.
Yeah.
That was like a phaser.
So sorry, the guy is being temporarily demoted for 6 months for tasing someone for no reason?
Essentially, while he was handcuffed back of the cruiser in the neck, is I'm going to imagine his little bonus for his arrest. Like, here you go. And it's funny, it's the temporarily that stood out to me too today, because I thought, I always refer to the private sector. That's just how I compare it. I feel like the treatment should be the same. If someone's demoted in the private sector, they have an opportunity to get back where they were if they prove themselves, but it's not a temporary thing. It's, sorry, you know, Susan, Bill's replacing you, but you can work your way back there if you prove to us you're not going to tase people in the neck.
I've seen physical altercations in the radio business whereby people took a couple of days off and were back at their job.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
Do tell.
Absolutely.
Who did you fight?
Oh, no, not me.
Oh, that's not true.
Me. No. I used to enjoy breaking things. I don't do that anymore.
That was part of your mad dog persona?
No, it was part of anger issue that I've since worked through. I used to like to break headphones.
We don't get any physical fights at Navigator.
No, but I know of an instance where there was an altercation between one person in one department and one person in another, and management took the person to the side, and much like in this instance, said, you know, you can reform. It was a one-time thing. Let's write it up, and hopefully there's not another issue. And I know that person still has their gig. Because these types of things happen. And I do have a lot of sympathy for cops when it comes to certain instances.
Certain people.
Obviously, you don't like brutality. But, you know, if you've ever witnessed an arrest, if you've ever been in any public setting where police are, you know, trying to break things up, things can escalate really, really quickly and tempers, they flare. And I could see someone tasing somebody in a situation like this. So if you say that this person has the potential for reform and you're going to dock pay, which you nailed, that's where it really hurts, then I'm okay with it.
Sounds good. And we don't know what the individual was doing in the back of the cruiser. Yeah. Maybe he's spitting at him. He's kicking the doors. He's resisting. So finally says, we're going to put you out for a second here. But
there we go.
I want to throw some headphones now. It's been a long time.
I'll tease you.
Our news director does that. Constantly throwing headphones.
I got to a point where the engineering department came to me with a box of parts and said, stop throwing the new ones and just throw these.
That's good.
But it was always passionate about the product. It was never at anybody else. It was mostly I'd be angry with myself that something had gone wrong.
Yeah, I get that.
Doctor, I really feel like I'm going back into my psyche now. Seriously, I've reformed a great deal. I'm a very happy person now. All right, let's talk scooters.
Yeah, have you seen these rental scooters? They litter some U.S. cities. So the company Bird is expected to launch a two-week pilot project involving short-term rental electric scooters. And this is in the Distillery District of Toronto. It's going to happen sometime next month. We asked Mayor Tory about these today, and he says there are lots of questions to be answered and rules put in place.
I've seen two things. One is I've seen a lot of safety issues that arise as to exactly where they're to be used and so forth and how they're to be used. And just as importantly, or not as important as safety, but almost as important, they are left all over the place and create utter chaos for sidewalks and for pedestrians and for just people trying to live in a big city.
At this moment, Ontario law only permits them in locations where the Highway Traffic Act doesn't apply, so private property. Tory doesn't think they're inevitable. He says the pilot project will give us a chance to see what they're all about. And as I said, I was in Nashville last weekend, and this is the first time I've ever seen them. And there is sort of a litter aspect to them, because you're walking down the street, and suddenly there's two scooters leaning against a tree right there in just the most haphazard manner.
So people can only activate them by using like a credit card or something? Well, so they're basically useless unless you activate it?
Your app.
So a lot of the, so I was in Atlanta and you can activate them. There's a bunch of partners through Uber or Lyft, or you can have an independent app. It just sort of depends. There's also like drop bikes, which are sort of a similar thing, but they're bicycles. I love these things. I use them. I will say the first 36 hours of using them in Atlanta, I was terrified, like absolutely terrified. But there's actually like, they had really smart rules about them. So they geofenced it. So in certain areas, you could only go to a certain speed. You had to take a photo of where you parked your scooter. And there were rules about where you were and were not allowed to park them. And like, they actually messed the GPS up on Mark's scooter, my boyfriend, when he parked it. And he got fined like $30 and had to call and say like, hey, no, we actually did park it not on the sidewalk, but over here, here's the photo. So I think there's a way for them to coexist properly, because this does solve an issue in cities called like the last mile. So there's that part, like either getting to the transit stop or leaving the transit stop, that stop people from using it because it's
because you're too far from work or wherever it is
exactly,
you're going.
Exactly, right? So like, I think these are a nice interim solution that's cheap and affordable, and you can get around the city that way. So, but I understand what the mayor's saying about the litter aspect, but if used properly, I think it will be very interesting. We just need to have the right rules.
See, I'm looking at a picture of these Bird scooters right now online, and they look just like any type of Razor scooter that you might see. They were super popular. They were giving them away at the C&E as prizes for the longest time. They're still pretty popular in a lot of neighborhoods, except for these are electric. And the one thing I don't see on these scooters is a breathalyzer.
No, nothing like that.
So I'm wondering how many people are leaving a bar and hopping on the Bird scooter and using it to drive home.
Well, it's funny you would say that. When I spoke to one of the Uber drivers in Nashville and I mentioned them and how it's first time seeing them, she claims that she said actually Nashville is trying to get rid of them, that they only put them in place about a year ago. People are upset about the litter aspect of them, that they're just sort of just dropped anywhere, so to speak. And also she claimed, I mean, I don't have the information for this, that people were dying. And you could see that aspect. I mean, I watched a couple of guys at one point come whipping down the road, cross the street, and there was part of it where I thought, that looked dangerous. And you're right. If you're drunk, then all bets are off.
And good thing that never happens in Nashville.
No, not at all.
All right, it's 6:15. Thank you very much, and welcome back. Dave McKee's views on the news, and not often that we get a story, or more often than not that we get a story where you can say to yourself, well, there's a special place in hell for you.
Yeah, and it's funny, we had a similar story two weeks ago. You just weren't here at the time, but we'll go back to that. But let's start with, well, the raid on the French port of Dieppe in 1942, single bloodiest day for the Canadian military during the Second World War. The Royal Hamilton Light Infantry, it's made up of soldiers from the Hamilton region, saw almost 200 deaths. 175 became prisoners of war. So do you think they deserve a plaque that isn't stolen? Police stopped a vehicle yesterday in Hamilton. They realized, oh, there's a warrant for this guy's arrest, the driver. Search the car, find burglary tools and a large bronze plaque. So it turns out the plaque was stolen from the Dieppe Veterans Memorial Park in Hamilton. The estimated value on this thing, $30,000. the driver now faces charges. And that had me thinking about a story we did recently. I was gone last week, the week before, where someone burned a Canadian flag hanging at the cenotaph in Beaverton. Had they caught the guy? We called Durham police. Turns out they had. Monday of last week, a 19-year-old was arrested, charged in connection with a series of vandalism acts in the Beaverton region. 10 counts of mischief, over $5,000 he faces. He also allegedly broke some windows at the police station there, and then he went back and was spraying graffiti. But it's nice to hear they caught the guy.
Wow. $30,000 plaque, which makes me think, who's buying that thing? Is there a market for that? For something like that?
There must be.
Like underground...
It's bronze, right?
Underground bronze memorial, man, maybe.
Because copper is really, I don't know, I know not much, but I know that copper wiring is something that gets stolen off of sites all the time. So copper is valuable. I have no idea what bronze does. So please text in if you guys know, but maybe it's worth something.
I'm going to guess less than silver, less than gold.
Ooh.
There you go.
Where are the wise men?
There's my expertise, huh? All right, we're moving on to something we've been talking about on the rest this afternoon. Is it a big deal for teachers to be tested in math?
I know. There must be a lot of wannabe teachers right now honing up on the old Pythagorean theorem. New teachers in Ontario will soon have to pass a math test. They have to score at least 70%. This is for new teachers. The union, what do you know, hates it. Says it'll do a big fat zero plus zero when it comes to improving students' math skills.
I fully support inquiring into the curriculum and to come up with the best possible curriculum, but that's where the efforts need to go. This is a sideshow.
Union says it doesn't make sense to potentially disqualify a geography or history teacher because they don't pass a math test. Memo from the deputy education minister says the new test will be in place at the end of this upcoming school year. I mean, I don't disagree entirely with if you're a great history teacher, whether or not you're great at math, I don't really necessarily need that. But I like the idea of testing them and ensuring in various ways that they're up on their skills.
Let's move on to vaping.
Okay, we've done this story before. It's a growing concern in the U.S., and maybe it should be a growing concern here as well. So an update, Utah's health department now investigating 21 cases of a severe lung disease in teens and young adults linked to vaping. That's up from 5 just last week. The department says people who use a mix of nicotine and marijuana e-cigarette products reported symptoms including coughing, shortness of breath, chest pain, fatigue, and vomiting. And add Virginia to the list of states as well dealing with this. It has now confirmed cases yesterday, more being investigated. So there's more than 200 cases now identified by the CDC. That's in the U.S. Health officials urge anyone who vape and experience a worsening cough and fatigue, go get checked out. And as I said, I imagine this applies here as well, because we have those very things here. And we're going to check to see if we're seeing more incidents of this. But it's odd to see the spread through the U.S., how it's been going. And more cases now that I guess that have identified what the issue is. But they're not exactly sure what's really causing it.
Are we all that surprised that it's teens and young adults, too? Because this is obviously, you know, something that's new.
Yeah.
And it's certainly easy to abuse.
That's true. Are they going to that level where they're causing damage to their lungs from overuse? Would it have something to do with teenage lungs? Are they still developing in a way?
Right.
There's talk that in amongst the vapor, the molecules, the particles are so small that they get deeper. I mean, they need to start figuring this out.
So off the top, you mentioned that we've closed the equity gap.
Yes, the wage gap.
Congratulations,
us. Yep, we did it. It has closed between women and men with newly earned PhDs. So it's a University of Guelph study. It focuses on gender equity in the labor market. It found both male and female doctoral graduates earn about $70,000 a year during their first 3 years. That's after graduating. One professor says the first time he's seen at any level, there is no discrepancy in earnings between men and women. However, the study also suggests the lower level of education, the bigger the gender pay gap. Pay gap is greatest among employees in the trades. On average, women earn about $32,000, men about $40,000. 25% more. Well, we can lift more. Men tend to go into higher paying trades, pipe fitting, plumbing. Women lean towards more hairdressing, cosmetology. Pay gaps are smallest among those with liberal arts degrees, but the relatively few women who go into math, engineering, computer science, they make far less than their male colleagues. Men fresh out of college earned about $45,000 on average versus $38,000 for women. Men with recent undergraduate degrees, $55,000. Female counterparts, just over 50,000. And these numbers show that adding a bachelor's degree to your resume prompts a 22% income boost for men, a 30% jump for women.
Interesting. And we should finish up with a guy who we know out of college earned significantly more.
$23 million this year? Is that what he's getting?
Wow.
So Josh Donaldson, he's back in Toronto. I'm understanding this is the first time because he was injured with Cleveland. So it's the first time he's back here. He's with the Atlanta Braves now. Great year thus far. I just 32 home runs. He's doing very well. And he was asked today at the Dome, how would he like the fans to remember his time here?
I feel like for me, no matter what, I try to leave it on the line, on the field. I play as hard as I can. I have a excitement and I get pleasure from being out here and competing every day. And I hope that's what people remember me for. And, not just that, but coming in here and helping this organization win a lot of games.
I feel like we gave this guy away, but we're going through a rebuilding.
I miss him. I loved him.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, he was a personality player, right?
He was so fun. He was also, I found him attractive, which I enjoyed deeply watching him play. it was such a fun time to be a Jays fan, and I know we're rebuilding, but like all of my teams are always rebuilding, so it's just deeply troubling.
Side note, enjoy the game tonight.
I know. I will be at the game tonight, so I'll be oogling Josh
Donaldson. You'll be supporting.
Yeah.
Now you have a reason to go.
I know. I was like, I don't know if I want to go.
I want to go. All right. Dave McKee, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
When we return, it is the evil truth behind the main flavor in your Starbucks pumpkin spice latte. And evil it is. That and more when The Rush continues.